بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته، ولا أمة بعد أمته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أتاكم الرسول فخذوه، وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، واتقوا الله إن الله شديد العقاب. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبع لما جئت به. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدعاء مخ العبادة. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable brothers and friends in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Man by nature is driven by incentives and rewards. It's for this reason loyalty programs are on the increase, because the companies and the big businesses, for them to gain their patronage and their loyalty, they will dangle in front of us certain savings and crazy deals. So this is how they will get their loyalty. However, we as the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if we study the ahadith and the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we see every single aspect of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We take a 24-hour cycle. Every single minute and moment in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if we have to practice on it, then there is an incentive, there is a reward, there is thawab for every one of us. One is aligning our life to the Mubarak Sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And one easy way to try and get this alignment, that way we come as close as possible to the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a simple starting point and a remedy for every one of us, is that we try and recite all the masnoon du'as of every occasion. Whether a person is waking up or he's going to sleep, he's sick, he's healthy, there is a moment, an occasion of celebration, it's a moment or an occasion of mourning and grieving. Then also we have been given some guidelines and du'as in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now if a person tries that his 24-hour cycle, his every occasion in his life is driven by some du'a of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that will create within us dhyan and consciousness of the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person is happy, immediately, what dua should I recite? Person enters his house, what dua should I recite? Person leaves his house, what dua should I recite? At every occasion to think, what was the response or the amal of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this particular situation and scenario I find myself in. A person is going through a severe, is going through fever. Does he just go to the cupboard, the medicine cupboard, the drawer, takes us his medication and say, this generally helps me? Or should he revert rather to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, place his hands on his forehead because of the fever and say, A'udhu billah, Bismillah al-Kabir, A'udhu billahi al-Azim, min sharri kulli 'irqin na'ar wa min sharri harrin nar. He recites this, then Allah will put the potency in that medication he's taken. Because the shifa of that medication is in the control of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he recites the dua and then he takes the means, because Allah has facilitated the means. Now the power of dua. Asim bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, he was part of a delegation of 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhum that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had dispatched in a certain direction to disseminate, to propagate the deen of Islam. En route to their destiny, they were accosted, they were led into a trap, as if to say. And that was the incident that Khubayb radiallahu anhu was taken into captivity, famous incident. And some sahaba became shaheed. Amongst the shuhada was Asim bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. He was the one that drew the blood of the seniors of Kuffar in the Battle of Uhud. So there was a handsome reward on the head of Asim radiallahu anhu. If anyone can bring his head so I can drink alcohol from his skull, then this is the reward for him. It was a handsome reward. So everyone was in pursuit of how do we get his head. Asim radiallahu anhu, well aware of the burning desire of taking revenge from him and his companions, he makes dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allahumma inni ahmi laka deenak fa ahmi lahmi. Oh my Allah, I protected for you your religion. Today you protect for me my body. When he was shaheed and the kuffar were in pursuit of his body, the moment they catch sight of his body, they dart in that direction to quickly get his body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divinely sends a swarm of bees that cover his body. They try everything at their disposal to ward off the bees so they can get hold of this, of the body. But it was impossible for them to get hold of the body of Asim radiallahu anhu. They said, listen, there's something in this entire, it's not making sense, leave it. We'll come tomorrow and get his body. There's no one over here to take him away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused rains and the banks of a river to break. When they came the next day, the waters had flown down the river with his body and he was buried into the riverbed. So that was the protection of Asim radiallahu anhu. He had yaqeen that my Allah will never fail me. I protect the deen of Allah, my Allah will protect me. Aban bin Uthman narrates from Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. And he narrates the hadith. حدثنا أبان بن عثمان قال حدثنا عثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول I heard Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that person who recites three times in the morning بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء some recite مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. Three times in the morning if he recites this, لَمْ تُصِبْهُ فَجْأَتُ, then no sudden difficulty will grip him. Meaning a stroke, a sudden heart attack will never come your way. Sudden sickness where there was no detection, there was no sign to it, will never afflict this person who recites this simple dua three times. Now when this sahabi, or rather the tabi'i, who's the one that's teaching his students this hadith, then one person is looking at him and he's really amazed. He's looking at him again. So the narrator Aban bin Uthman, he tells the person, why are you looking at me? Malaka tanzuru ilayya. Are you amazed? Why you seem to be perplexed? What's the matter? What's wrong? He says, no, you narrating the hadith, the person who recites this dua three times, then no sudden calamity will befall him. But when I look at your body, I see you have paralysis on one side. What happened? So he says, don't doubt my authenticity, nor should you doubt the authenticity of Uthman radiallahu anhu. مَا كَذَبْتُ عَلَىٰ Uthman وَلَا كَذَبَ Uthman عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَىٰ اللَّهِ صَلَىٰ اللَّهِ I'm not speaking a lie. My Ustad is not speaking a lie. Uthman radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, I've got yaqeen in it. Let me tell you the backdrop to me losing and having paralysis on one side. وَلَكِنَّ الْيَوْمَ الَّذِي أَصَابَنِي مَا أَصَابَنِي غَضِبْتُ فَنَسِيتُ أَنْ أَقُولَهَا. The day, see what you see, this paralysis that hit me on one side. One day I was very angry in a certain situation. I was so gripped with anger, I forgot to read my du'as of the day. That's the day I got the sickness. My yaqeen is on this du'a, Allah will protect me. But the day it hit me was the day I forgot to recite it. But a very subtle lesson in it. The day غَضِبْتُ فَنَسِيتُ. I was so overcome with anger that I forgot to recite it. Because when a person is angry, then he's off his mind. He's not in control of himself and his emotions. That is why even the Qadi in the Islamic law and land is not allowed to judge if he's angry. If he's angry, case adjourned. We will come back when he's cool and calm. The decision will not be governed by the Sharia and the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, Khalid radiallahu anhu, he leads siege against the Kufar. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, after laying siege on these people, the siege was extended through months. After a month or so, these people were really at the end of it, and they couldn't take any more. So one person comes down as a spokesperson, negotiator, and he says, listen, we're ready to negotiate. But when he comes with a bottle. Comes with a bottle, and there's something in this bottle. So Khalid radiallahu anhu says, you came to negotiate the terms of the treaty. Maybe there's going to be peace, inshallah. Because they were really constrained, without any food, no water, no source of survival now in this fort. So he says, Khalid, we came to negotiate. So he says, what's in your hand? He says, in my hand, I've got a bottle in it. This is a bottle. In this bottle, there's poison. He says, but why do you be in poison when you need to negotiate a peace treaty? So he says, we're so tongue, we're so constrained, we're so restricted in this fort. I told myself that if today we don't strike a deal, I'll drink this poison and kill myself. I'm not going back even to the fort. So he says, how about a better deal than you killing yourself? Khalid radiallahu anhu saw the opportunity of giving da'wat. He says, I drink this poison for you, and if I don't die, you become a Muslim. He says, no, don't do that. Forget about drinking the poison. If even a drop, little of it has to just get stuck onto your tongue, that's the end of you, O Khalid. Forget about drinking it, just one drop. Khalid radiallahu anhu took that poison. He says, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma ismihi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. Three times he recites it, he drinks it, and nothing happens to him. And this person embraces the deen and becomes a Muslim. But we shouldn't do it to test our yaqeen. Khalid radiallahu anhu had yaqeen. He could have done it. We should not do something like this. So Khalid radiallahu anhu, such yaqeen in the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is no effect. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, once he was in the company of Sahaba radiallahu anhum with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one person came, he says, oh Abu Darda, ihtaraqa baytuk, your house is burning. So he says, mahtaraqa bayti, my house is not burning. Another person comes in, he says, Abu Darda, ihtaraqa baytuk, your house is burning. So he says, my house is not burning. The third person came, he says, I followed the fire in your vicinity and area and locality. The fire came right till the neighboring houses around yours. Yours did not burn. He says, Hakada alimtu, I knew my Allah will never fail me. So the people around say, oh Abu Darda, amazing, what yaqeen, what gives you that certainty your house is not burning? He says, my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me the dua. I recited the dua. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant. عليك توكلت وأنت رب العرش العظيم ما شاء الله كان وما لم يشأ لم يكن لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله أعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما اللهم إني أعوذ بك من شر نفسي وشر كل دابة أنت آخذ بناصيتها إن ربي على صراط مستقيم. Nabi Sam says, if you recite this, no difficulty can come your way for that day. Not possible. If you recite this dua, it's known as the dua of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. It's found in the duas of the contentment of the heart. You will find it. This is, so that's a believer. A believer does not ensure. A believer ensures. He will ensure he recites his duas. Because we can, you may try to secure your losses, but you cannot stop the musibah from coming from the side of Allah. Something can happen, they'll pay you back, you'll get your money. But that musibah that Allah wants to come to your plate will definitely come to you. So here this is the du'as from the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a person recites this, then we find in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the du'as of our daily life, there's two things. Number one, there is hifazat and there's protection for us. And number two, there is hidayat for every one of us. This protection and this guidance in the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Simple du'a. The du'as that we read, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the du'a we are taught, Allahumma ja'alni fi ayni saghira, wa fi a'yuni nasi kabira. O Allah, humble me in my eyes, but grant me honor in the eyes of people. In my eyes, humble me. I shouldn't feel I'm the allama and the buzurg of the time. If that has to settle in, that takabbur has to come, then that's going to be detrimental to me. But please hold me in high esteem in the eyes of people. Let me be honored and people have a good thought about me. So, in the daily du'as of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and all the du'as, person recites Munajat-e-Maqbul, Al-Hizb-ul-Azam, these are two fantastic du'a kitabs that contain the du'as of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Recite this and slowly try and look at the meaning, understand the meaning of these du'as. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when a person leaves his house, if he recites, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwata illa billah. Simple du'a. Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwata illa billah. Then the guarantee from the side of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels announce, Hudita wa kufita wa wuqita wa tanahalahu shayateen. Number one, you are guaranteed hidayat. And that is the desire of every believer, that every moment I need to have hidayat and guidance from the side of Allah. So here the angel is saying, you guided, your guidance is guaranteed. Hudita wa kufita. You've got necessities, you've got errands to run for the day, you'll be sufficed your requirements and needs of the day. Wa kufita. Wa wuqita. And you will be protected today because you left the house in the name of Allah. And shayateen leave and run away from that house. Now the shayateen speaking to each other, one shaitan tells the other, كَيْفَ لَكَ بِرَجُلٍ. How do we ever attack this person? قَدْ هُدِيَ وَكُفِيَ وَوُقِيَ. He's guaranteed guidance, protection and sufficiency. How do we ever overcome him? He's recited this dua. Ja'far al-Sadiq, a pious person from the progeny of Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, عَجِبْتُ مِنْ أَرْبَعٍ يَغْفُلُونَ أَنْ أَرْبَعٍ. I'm amazed with four people that are negligent, oblivious of four du'as. Yet, it is something documented, it is something enshrined in the Qur'an that they recite. He says, I'm amazed with the man. عَجِبْتُ مِنْ لِمَنِ بِتُلِيَ بِالْضُرِّ. I'm amazed with the man who's in any difficulty. He's in some difficulty. And he is oblivious. He's forgotten to recite, أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Which was the dua of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And then he says, عَجِبْتُ لِمَنِ بُتُلِيَ بِالْغَمِّ. I'm amazed with the man who's in some stress in life. He's got some worries, some grief in life. He's got some stress, but he's forgotten to recite, which we call the ayat-e-kareema, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin. La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin. The dua that Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam recited in the belly of the fish. Now this dua, some ulama prescribe for that person who's got depression. And we personally met some people who were on medication for depression. But because of constant recitation of this dua, alhamdulillah, they are out of the medication. Out of it. Recently, as we mentioned, one of the nights, we met one person. So he's telling us, my mother is 92 years old. But he's saying, Mawlana, about 5 years ago, she had a stroke. And she was bedridden. She just couldn't move. So the brothers and the siblings all got around, the extended family. We decided we need to do something extraordinary for her shifa. Doctors say, keep her izzat, let her die at home. So we kept her izzat and we took her home. But we said that shifa is in the hands of Allah. We sat around her bed. He says, Mawlana, we completed approximately 130 khatams of Quran. Miraculously, one morning we go for Fajr, he's sitting on the musalla and making dua. We say, Ya Allah, we finished approximately 130. So that's the lesson of istiqamat, yaqeen and istiqamat. A river never cuts the rock because of its power, but because of its persistency. That we'll have to persist and continue and have istiqamat in whatever we are doing. Then inshallah we will see the desired effects in whatever we want to see. One alim explains and he says, I never start my day and night until I don't place 70,000 angels on duty for me. So someone asks him, what you mean? How do you depute 70,000 angels for you? So he says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that person who recites, A'udhu billahi sami'il alim min ash-shaytani rajim. A'udhu billahi sami'il alim min ash-shaytani rajim. A'udhu billahi sami'il alim min ash-shaytani rajim. 3 times he recites it. And then he recites the last 3 verses of Suratul Hashr, which is the 2nd surah in the 28th juz and para of the Quran, the last 3 ayat. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم till the end of the surah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints 70,000 angels to continue making dua in maghfirat and forgiveness for this person. He is walking, doing business, striking a deal. He's in the auction, strike, maybe signing a check. But these angels are making dua in maghfirat for him. Today we see pious people, we see, Hazrat, special duas for me. We see someone, we want to make dua. We're looking for duas. Here, imagine celestial angels of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. These will be appointed to make dua for us. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, Ya Abu Huraira, إِذَا تَوَضَّعْتَ فَقُلْ. When you make your wudu, then recite Bismillah walhamdulillah. Simple dua. Bismillah walhamdulillah. We are... Alhamdulillah, we're doing a lot of things. We're doing a'mal. But when we bring the masnoon dua in our life, it brings dhyan. It brings the consciousness of that action. Yes, we come into the masjid, but be conscious of entering with the right leg and reciting the relevant dua. Of leaving with the left leg and reciting the relevant dua. Such great wisdom in every dua. So Nabi Sam told him, if you recite a simple dua when you're making wudu, Bismillah walhamdulillah, فَإِنَّ حَفَظَتَكَ لَا تَسْتَرِيحُ تَكْتُبُ لَكَ الْحَسَنَاتِ حَتَّى تُحْدِثُ. The angels will continue writing good deeds for you until your wudu breaks. Mula Masihullah rahmatullah alayh, when every Friday he used to walk with his disciples from one town to another, then he would... When everyone is gathered around him, he will ask them, Fauji tayyar hai? Are the soldiers ready? Are the soldiers ready? So someone didn't really understand what was meant in it. So he asked him, Hazrat, when you say soldiers, what you mean soldiers? He said, no, does everyone have wudu? We're going to be walking now. Because if you made your wudu, the angels are protecting you on this journey. If you're going to be making wudu, then you are protected on this journey. Mulana Chuhan Sahib in the morning, one of the mornings when he was in the half of the third, the juz of the Quran, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ, which is in the second half of the third, the juz and para of the Quran. Then he explained to us, and alhamdulillah, a wealth of knowledge that we learn in the morning in the tafsir. But Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, what happened was, for 3 days he didn't come to the masjid. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hey, you were coming, meaning you weren't taking part and participating in the majlis, in the gathering, salah, and you were out. So he says, I was scared of one person, I'm owing him some money. Because of that debt, I couldn't come. So I didn't want to ashamed myself, I just kept a distance and stayed at home. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh Mu'adh, should I tell you of a dua if you recite it? If your debt is even like a mountain, Allah will pay off that debt. Allah will pay it off. So the dua, Mawlana explained it. It's those two verses, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. So we won't say قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ. It's اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. The entire two ayat. Until بِغَيْرِ وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And then رَحْمَانَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ وَرَحِيمَهُمَا. تُؤْتِي مِنْهُمَا مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَمْنَعُ مِنْهُمَا مَنْ تَشَاءُ. أَغْنِنِي مِنَ الْفَقْرِ وَقْضِ عَنِّي الدَّيْنِ. It's the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Person recites this, he has yaqeen inshaAllah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate and create the means for the payment of that debt of his. How from unseen, it will come. Auf bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you teach me something? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala adulluka ala kalimatin hiya kanzu min kunuzil jannah. I tell you something, it's a treasure of Jannah. The treasure, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That's the treasure. So he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my son is a captive with the kuffar. And there's no, the ransom that they are asking for is beyond our budget and an ability to even pay that ransom. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, send the message to your son, tell him to recite La Hawla Wa La Quwwata Illa Billah. Tell him to recite it a lot. So his son started reciting. Suddenly one day, Auf bin Malik comes with his son. So Nabi said, what happened? He said, I told my son to recite it, you prescribed. He started reciting La Hawla Wa La Quwwata Illa Billah. La Hawla Wa La Quwwata Illa Billah. Suddenly, miraculously, the shackles and the chains that he was bound with, all of it broke off. He even came with some of the camels as booty from the enemies. He even came with booty. But for us, unfortunately, because we're so far from the reality of yaqeen in the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the qudrat of Allah, these incidents seem like fairy tales for us. Simona, what are you talking about? Reciting this and that can happen. Yeah, you know, that's those for those people. This is for all time. It's for us also as the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, the ability that we recite the masnoon du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We started off by mentioning that a person reciting all the masnoon du'as, he recites all the masnoon du'as, then there is hifadat, there's protection and hidayat and guidance. And a person becomes conscious of the greatness of Allah. Together with that, reciting a lot of durood sharif is very important. Person came to Hassan al-Basri and complained and said, my daughter passed away, I had a dream and she's suffering in the fire. She's going through punishment. Hassan al-Basri told her, start making dua, recite durood sharif, etc. So she started making dua. Mother comes back, she says, oh Hassan al-Basri, my daughter is smiling. So why is your daughter smiling now? She says, no, I asked my daughter, what makes you smile when you were burning in the fire the other day? So the daughter says, one pious person passed the qabrastan. And there were few of us in this qabr that were suffering in the punishment of Allah. But that pious person, he recited durood sharif 20 times, made isali sawab for the inmates of the qabr. Through the barakat of, and the barakah of that durood sharif, our adab has been lifted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us the tawfiq and the ability to recite all the masnoon du'as of every occasion and increase in the durood sharif of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.